I'm in the Locarno Film Festival in the Open Door section with Emma Edioso Dalin.
Yes, Emma Edioso Dalin.
Good, thank you so much for correcting.
You're welcome.
And you did the opening night of this with your third movie.
Yes.
I think it was wonderful for you, such a great moment.
Thank you so much. It's such an exciting pleasure to present my film to the Swiss audience. And, you know, I love the fact that even though it's an African story, it connected and touched a lot of people. And it's such a great honor to share my film.
And your film is called When Nigeria Happens.
Yes.
It follows a troupe of dancers in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
And the leader is having a very bad time in his life.
Yeah.
Fagbo, can you tell us about the inspiration about this movie, please, Emma?
So one of the things that I, as a filmmaker, want to do is that I understand that Africa has problems, but I don't want to focus on only on the problems. I want to show the dynamic, strong characters within these spaces. And, you know, for me, the inspiration of the film came because I was speaking to a security guard, and he told me that well-spoken, well-educated security guard who told me he earned less than 25 euros to feed his family in a month. And I was quite surprised when I looked at this man. He was well-spoken and very educated. And I started questioning what will break a human being to the point, what is the system, what are the things that will break a human being to the point where 25,000 naira will be okay to leave. And then I started following a group of dancers. There's a growing contemporary dance scene in Nigeria where it's not ballet, and you saw the dance is a mixture of everything. Hip-hop, capoeira, Afrobeat, is a mixture of everything. And I thought this dance was beautiful, but these young dancers were not being supported. So I said to myself, I would like to use this powerful dance to tell the story of dreams and use the security guards to tell the story of compromise. What is that intersection between dreams and between talent and giving up on your talent to face by a system that is set up to, you know, really break an individual? What is exploring that part of what it would take to break a human being to give up on his dreams? And for me, I also think it's a universal story because, you know, they're setting people who have dreamt of, in every part of the world, dreams are universal. But achieving those dreams, not a lot of us get to achieve those dreams, especially because of systems that have been set up to, you know, break the human soul. So for me, it's an exploration of that point in the person's life where you give up on your dream, even though you are absolutely talented. Yes.
Emma, you just said that dreams are universal.
Yes.
Your story is in Lagos.
Yes.
Can be universal the way that we forget some invisible people, forgotten people.
Yes.
And so in your movies, you put these people in the front of the scene.
Yes. I have a very strong documentary background, and it has largely influenced my filmmaking. I used to work for the BBC as a video journalist. I worked with Deutsche Welle, yes. With Bloomberg and with Vice News. And I would go into this community and speak to these people. And it was just so different from the picture that they would paint of the stupid gate man or the stupid housemaid or the poor sad house. There's a sense of pride. There's a sense of community that I don't think is being shown on the screen.
And solidarity.
And solidarity, yes. And I just wanted to celebrate that. Yes, these people are poor. Yes, these people have problems. But it doesn't mean that they're not strong, dynamic people. And I'm talking from somebody who, I didn't grow up in a wealthy home. But my childhood was one of the best. I played with on my feet on the streets of Lagos. But it was one of the best childhood moments that I ever had. But you know, when you look, people look into Africa with a Western gaze. Just because some people don't have iPhones or don't have certain things, then they're weak and sad and soppy. But no, yes, we have problems, but they're strong, dynamic characters. And I want to show these characters in my world that, yes, they have problems, but they're really strong and talented. And that's what you know, I did with the film. Yes.
Yes. Congratulations for showing these people. There are people with, of course, very economical problem.
Yes.
Very difficult issue to support the family,
mm-hmm.
but they stay proud.
Yes, they're very proud, very, very proud. And you know, the film, even though it has that kind of ending, Africans are so resilient. it's just a moment in Fago's life. He's going to bounce back. But for me, it was just exploring that moment and being sincere with their truth and their story, but also putting values on their life and showing their strength, their creativity, and their talent. Yes.
And Emma, can you talk about the two first movie you did?
So my first movie was called Kasala, and it's a story about four boys in a community in Nigeria, and one of them takes his uncle's precious rickety car to a party and they wreck the car. And the story is on how they have to raise less than 20 euros to fix the car in 6 hours before their uncle comes back. So for me, we see their innovative way of trying to raise money. And with that, we see they take us into their community and we see the problems within the community. So it's a story about Nigerians and the tenacity of Nigerians in the face of anything, using those four boys, how the young people fight for their dreams, and that's Kasala.
Then and capacity to solve problems.
Yes,
and solidarity again.
Yes, capacity to solve problems and solidarity. And for my second film, OTT, it's a very personal story. It's a story about a seamstress who discovers that her father is alive after 30 years and she goes back to meet him, to find him, and she uses that situation to resolve commitment issues she has. And for that, I question our culture. And my dad at that point, it was during the COVID period, my dad had a stroke and he was paralyzed on one side of his body and he was bedridden. And you know, this larger than life, my father was larger than life. If my dad would laugh, this whole place, you would hear his laughter resound everywhere. And he became this child, you know, that we had to take care of. But culturally, as a woman and as children, it's set up in such a way that his brothers and his family members have a greater say over his life than our lives. And they came in and they were force-feeding him with traditional medicines, and it made him go worse to the point that we had to sneak him out of the house to another state to save his life. And I just was questioning the society as to, why is this right? And with that film, I used the seamstress going back to look for her father to question the uncles that had taken over his life. And, you know, she uses that to resolve her own personal issues. That's the second film. And then the third one, When Nigeria Happens, that I'm presenting here at Locarno. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Talking about, again, the opening night of the section Open Doors. You are the first one to be shown.
Yeah.
And you were very moved because the audience was so numerous.
Yes.
It was sold out.
Yes.
And there were a few lucky people taking the last seats. It was such an impression for you.
Oh yes, it's such an impression. You know, the thing about filmmaking is that, and I think you might experience this as a journalist, where you write a piece, everybody brings their own interpretation to it, right? Yep. Sometimes you might have written something and somebody will take something completely different and you say, that's not what I wrote.
But even for movies.
Even for movies. And for me to see this baby and see all these people come out to, I mean, it's such an isolating place. You make a movie, nobody's there to cheer you up. You don't know what will happen. You don't know if people will walk in or walk out of your film. And it was just so humbling to see that people were curious about this film, that people came. It was such a humbling experience. And I think that even from to the greatest director, it's always such a humbling experience when you see people receive your film, because it's such an isolating place that you've made this film, you don't know. It's so nervous. And I was really nervous as to, oh my God, would people want to see this? And it was just great to see people turn out, to see the sold out ticket, to see people receive, connecting, people crying. And I'm just like, it's not your world, but they totally understood it. And I think that's a beautiful thing about film. And I think that's the reason why filmmakers keep making and making, even though it's hard, you know. And I was just so grateful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a long time pregnancy.
I know.
Out of the point of your creation, but the congratulations for the mother or father,
yes,
is the same.
It's the same. It's such an interesting process. Mm. It's such a very beautiful and interesting process, because you've been carrying this idea, this child, and then you produce it and then you give birth to it. Yes, develop it. You take it to production, you take it to the editing room, and even through the process, this child changes form, you know, even to the last minute. And it's such a magical process, honestly. And I'm just so grateful to be part of it. it, yes.
And you're part of the Open Doors section?
Yes.
How do you live is here? And what are your expectations with Open Doors?
Oh, I think Open Doors has been... This is one of the biggest festivals that I have been to, and it's just been humbling, really, especially coming from Africa here. It's so beautiful in Locarno. Yeah, I have the view of a lake from my window. It's so beautiful. The people are lovely. I think it's been a great experience for me. And just meeting people, just sharing my film with a different audience is great. What are my expectations? I think one of the beautiful things about the Open Doors Film Festival is not just, they don't just say, oh, here's your film in the cinema and then bye-bye. You know, it's not like that. They don't leave you alone. You know, they try to, there's a whole activity for me and all the filmmakers and producers that are here. There's a lot of networking opportunity. They're very intentional about setting you up. Like, we're having this meeting, right? They're very, very intentional about setting you up. They're very, very intentional about growth. They're very, very intentional about collaboration. And it's just been an amazing opportunity that I hope that from Locarno, I would network and grow a system of friendship and producers that I can take along on my next film and, you know, collaborate and make greater things. Yes,
but Emma, I guess with your work for BBC Africa, for Bloomberg, for Deutsche Welle, you had already lots of addresses and contacts. Is it getting even more important with Locarno?
With news, it's quite different. As a journalist, you make the story, you give it to the editor, and you're bye bye until the next one, or you pitch your story. It can be a bit detached. But with Locarno, it's quite personal. I get to talk to the audiences and see how they feel about the film. I get to feel the substance of what I had made, and I get to talk to people who are interested in my work and want to see what I want to make and hopefully work with me on my next film. So it's quite different for me. It's a lot more personal here, yes.
And Emma, talking about the audience, at the end of the screening, there were lots of questions. One was about getting subventions, financial support,
yes.
And you seem to be moved again about this topic.
Yes. As you know, there's not a lot of funding for films in Africa. There's not a lot of grants. In Nigeria, it's beginning to come up, but it's not enough for everybody, right? And the film funding process can be hard for even big-time filmmakers, not just only me. I think, and which is one of the really exciting parts about Locarno, is that I get to meet and hear about co-production funds and meet producers or investors that might be interested. So it's a very touching issue, but I think that with every film I make and with more reputation, which for me has been a long-term strategy, that in order to be able to attract this wealth or this money, I have to put out work to attract the right kind of investors to me to say, oh, because giving money is hard, you know. I mean, investing money, you have to be sure that this money is going to be recouped, whether I make films or whatnot. But the beautiful thing about it is that I think with every film it gets better. It's still an emotional subject, and that's one thing I'm hoping for with Locarno, that I can get into the right network. My work will be seen, and I would understand the world of co-production and get into one for my next film. Yeah.
Yeah, Emma, you're saying, now, especially nowadays, giving money is difficult,
yeah.
Receiving money too.
Yes.
And your work is being shown here in Locarno on an internal stage. But what about FESPACO?
Oh, FESPACO. Every African filmmaker dreams of FESPACO.
Ouagadougou.
It's where the founding fathers. Of course, FESPACO.
Great filmmakers.
It's great filmmakers. And yes, it's I'm definitely going to submit it into FESPACO, and hopefully, yes, I get to submit it to Europe. But my dream is that people on my continent get to watch it.
And very important.
It's very important because the film is made for them and it's about them. And one of the most striking things about the screening was that the Africans in the front really understood it. They felt it. People from Kenya, from South Africa really felt what the film was about. And it really touched them differently. And FESPACO is like on the top of my list for the African audience. Yes, I am definitely submitting it into FESPACO. Yes.
And Emma, talking about the filmmakers from the African continent,
yes,
could you tell us there were some very great names who inspire you?
Ooh,
lots. We've got time.
Oh my God, lots. I'll give you the only two so I don't bore you. There's Usman Sembene, of course. And there's Haile Gerima, of course. Those are my two favorites that have inspired me. And those are the two. Yes. Those are the two on the top of my list, yes.
So here is your third movie.
Yes.
Shown in Locarno.
Yes.
I don't want you to tell any something secrecy, but are you already working, writing?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on my fourth movie and I'm really excited. You think when Nigeria happens, the world I'm creating is going to be a lot more fun and interesting, with a lot more interesting characters from when Nigeria happened. And it's a movie about a young boy whose father wants him to be a boxer because the father is a professional boxer, but he secretly wants to be a wrestler, and he stumbles into this underground world of wrestling and he becomes so famous, but he has to hide it from his father because he has to wear a mask. And with the film, you know, I address, you know, how, especially in Africa, people, there's a lot of expectations on young people. A lot of the time is about survival. If you're a doctor, it's easy for you to make money. Give up your, they'll tell you, don't, why do you want to be a dancer or a filmmaker? So it's a story about dreams and supporting dreams, and how family in African, you know, we see the reconciliation between father and son, and see how this wrestling gym is saving the young boys within the community and taking them off drugs and, you know, all of that. So that's what the film is about. And
so it's questioning tradition, legacy,
yes,
of course,
yes,
the family,
yes,
the values.
Yes, family values, questioning traditions. And also, like I said, I don't shy away from the problems of Nigeria or from Africa, but I want to show the strong, dynamic characters within the space and how they navigate and how they survive and how they keep thriving and how they keep laughing and smiling through everything. Yeah.
Emma, if you don't want to answer my question, don't hesitate.
Oh, okay.
Please do. But I was wondering if you could tell us about the situation of women in Nigeria, especially the women victims of Juju.
Mm.
Because there are a lot of Nigerian women here that are sent for prostitution, and they are really bound by Juju.
Yes.
Could you tell us about that, please?
So, spirituality is big in Africa. And I think that from a young age, you're raised to be aware of it. So you can get off from it. Like, it's a big part of our culture as Africans. And culture is good, but sometimes culture can be bad. And we see it in the case of these girls. So with the girls being trafficked here, one of the things that most people do not understand is that it's not just even about being them here prostitution. But there's also...
Or being raped.
It's not just even about them. And it's just also about them being bound by cultures and traditions that are not good. And that's...
They've got obligation to the family.
And they also have obligations to the family.
To the society, I guess.
To the society. So it's a massive problem, especially in Benin City, where most of these young ladies come from. And I think right now it became so much of an epidemic that there's so much awareness about it, but it's still prevalent. And you know, it's culture. You can't tell somebody to stop being Italian. You can't tell somebody to stop being Swiss.
It's part of the
identity, and which is so sad. But I think that there are a lot of organizations right now that are coming and speaking out. And a lot of these young ladies that have returned back home are coming back to talk against it. So it's not one thing that you wake up and will solve. It's a gradual, a very unfortunate problem, but there's gradually becoming awareness of it.
Getting better and better?
Slowly. We all wanted to get better this fast, but it's slowly getting better. Yes.
So I guess with your movie you can help the female condition, women condition.
Yes, of course. Yes,
of course.
Of course
you were talking about a boy, but as one woman.
Yes, and you know, Yes, of course. And with I think that's the beautiful thing about storytelling is that anybody would look at it. And I think one of the jobs of my film is to hold a mirror back into society and let us ask ourselves, why are we the way we are? Why is there corruption? Why is the healthcare bad? Why is this? And show our lives. Because, you know, it's easy for you. Okay, think of it. It's easy for us to be, I might say, being a European and you wake up in the morning and you drink tea and, you know, you do everything. But it's easy for us to switch off and disconnect of the problems in the world, say what is happening in Gaza or whatever, right? But it's so easy for us to disconnect. But when you footages of these things are held up in your face, it wakes people up. And I think that's the job of my film. Shocks people to the core. And I think that's the job of my film, to get them to start questioning. And it's a gradual but very important process.
Please, Emma, keep on questioning this social question, even political or sociological. Maybe my last question, we're talking about the oral tradition, telling stories, oral tradition, telling stories orally. It's very important in Africa.
Oh, it's very important in Africa. I mean, I think growing up, my mother used to tell my sisters and I stories. It was a big thing. And my mother would make the stories about her life as a young girl, and she would turn them into stories. And for me,
Don't worry. I make you work.
It's okay.
It's a scandal. Scandal in Locarno.
Oh, it's okay.
Your fifth movie about the scandal in Locarno.
You must also understand that I am Africa, and our traditions are very different.
Helping people.
And I know, I'm sure you must have it. We are very conscious of the elders.
My father was from Algeria. I was born there.
Oh, wow. Oh, fantastic. So you must understand that I am first
African.
Thank you. I would be shocked if it's part of my DNA,
In Europe, it's a bit different.
Oh, yes, it's
in
completely
the
different.
States, it's completely different.
But I forgot about it. Yes, but I am African and there is respect.
Good for me. And good for you.
Thank you.
And for your pregnancy babies film.
Yes.
So, oral tradition.
And my mother will make all these beautiful stories and make them into music. And it's, I think that's one of been the reasons why I'm so connected to stories and so connected to making films about my culture and about the people that I love. So yes, oral tradition is important. I'm going to tell my children orally, and it just keeps our culture, the good part of our culture, alive. And you know, it's a very big thing within Nigeria and within the African society. Yes,
I think we are connected to our errancy, to our ancestors.
Yes,
bells are ringing. And so I can wish you to enjoy this Open Doors.
Thank you so much.
And to get lots of contacts.
Thank you
here in Locarno.
Yes.
Please, Emma, keep us informed.
Yes.
About your next movie,
film.
About your work.
Yes.
And about Nigeria and about what you are going to show us from your culture, your identity.
Thank you so much
for being here for your third movie.
Thank you.
When Nigeria Happens.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
For getting my notes on the floor. Thank you, Emma.
You're welcome.
Wish you good luck for
Thank
your creation.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.